With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Rehab Up here on the Rehab Up Network on Rob Has a Podcast. I am Maggie Morgan, one of your fabulous hosts as we go on this crazy journey. And today, this episode was a frickin' doozy. Here to talk with me, as always, is my favorite of all time to talk about this crazy show with, the one, the only, Jacob Jones. How are you today, Jacob?
I'm doing good, Maggie. I'm still a little hyped from yesterday's episode. But I'm still ready to go. Yesterday's episode was so iconic and so like amazing and so legendary on so many cylinders. My mouth is still on the floor. Yeah, I would say so.
Like, truly, I would not be shocked if they get nominated for awards for this episode. And I'm not kidding, because like, they got Ring camera footage of Jen's house being raided.
That part I did not like. I don't like that Jen gave it to him. But I'm just saying, even in the show, though, I was like, this could have been left out. But it was a different aspect.
But it's like the fact that that is the amount of inside look that we got.
Oh, yeah.
The only reason that we did not get Jen getting arrested on the side of the road is because she took off before a producer could get in the car with her. Otherwise, we would have that too. Like, we literally saw everything, which is wild. And I also think that the fact that like the footage of the women in the bus is not like the best, like it's very clearly sort of like GoPro set up all around, makes it feel so much more real, you know?
Yeah. And the fourth wall is my favorite thing to be broken down with in the Real Housewives world. And so the fact that that was broken and we got to see the producers talking, we got to see the, like, I mean, the episode before that, so we saw the producer come in there and say, hey, are y'all seriously not considering going on the trip anymore? And so we got to see a whole nother aspect of it and the police and like just stories on stories on stories on why Jen is how she is. And you know, it just provided content.
It was wild, because I know that Jen watching this episode was pissed off. And I mean, we can talk about it when we get to tea time, but like they really just like in the moment, they were like, if she's done this, cards on the table, let's talk all our crap.
No, literally.
But like, I don't think I could say that I would do anything different.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't either.
I am a loyal friend, but if I found out that my friend was getting indicted for charges of defrauding elderly people, and like I was at my place of business, I was swarmed by a freaking SWAT team, I also think I might be like, hey, this is some weird, shady stuff that she did. Like, I don't blame the women at all for sitting at that table at the end and just going over stories, because that's what we wanted to hear.
That's what we wanted to hear also. But I don't think, like, Because I think, I mean, you're getting at Heather. I don't think Heather was a bad friend in this entire situation. I think it can be perceivably so. Like, oh, like, what is she doing? But, like, I think if something like that traumatic happened to you and you're just like, wait, what is actually going on to a person you care about? You're going to have things and, like, you're going to listen to other people's, like, voice, like, hey, what did you say to correlate, you know, their different actions? And so it was an episode worth waiting for. And I'm glad that we have got over this hump and into some new territory with The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. So. Let's get into it.
Okay, so the episode opens 9:33. This is sort of...
Oh, you have the timestamp too. I love this.
I do. I have all the timestamps. I wrote them down. 9:33 in Salt Lake City. We see... we're in the Beauty Lab parking lot. We see the tail end of last week's episode. Jen gets up with her box braid, says Sharif has internal bleeding. Sharif Sr., she needs to leave. Heather asks if she should call Jen. Lisa says, I don't think you should do that, actually, once the SWAT team comes and raids. And then they all just are off to the races, the women. They start calling their husbands.
Yes.
Lisa's crying, you know, telling him Homeland Security came to try to find Jen.
Lisa is sobbing, and sobbing, not just crying, sobbing.
Lisa was a mess, honestly, this whole episode, which I deeply relate to. Like, when I'm overwhelmed in any capacity, I'm crying.
Really?
Whether I'm mad, sad, just overall overwhelmed, embarrassed, like I start crying. So, like, again, another point in me being Lisa Barlow. Like, I felt literally her on this one. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh.
They literally, and so I really wrote, like, sort of when I went back and took notes, because I watched the episode just clear, no note taking, just like watched to enjoy, knowing that this was going to be such a fabulous episode. And I would want to go back and sort of like really get the facts down of like what the women were saying. So one thing that I really noticed about this episode is that it really portrays the chaos of how the women are trying to figure out what the F is going on. You know, like the entire time they bounce from every single one of them bounces from theory to theory. They don't know who to trust. They don't know what's going on. Like, they're completely freaking out. And so after, like, Lisa calls her husband crying, Heather starts saying, you know, like, I'm still trying to process that, like, Sharif, I thought he was going to die. Like, that's where I am. And then suddenly Homeland Security is here. Like, I just think it's one big mistake. All they said was that they wanted to talk to her. And Jenny's like, no, Heather, no, like they're not here to talk to her. Like, Jenny, actually, I felt this whole bus ride was like the voice of reason, the outside person who doesn't know Jen, who could be like, get a grip. She's screwed.
Would you say the voice of reason? I mean, yes, she was like that type of person, but I just thought Jenny was just like, it just seemed at a certain point that she was just uninterested. Like, even when she was, when they were talking about, oh, she has internal bleeding, should we stay or go? Oh, we should go. Like, it could like, oh, I could care less. Like, this is a coworker that I have, and that's really all it is. So the vibe I got from Jenny was like, Jenny, you haven't provided us any content this entire season besides when Mary told you to STFU and the story with your sister wives thing. And so I'm like, can you at least pretend to be more involved? Even though her actions on the bus, Cavalier didn't really care. In your sense, being the voice of reason was entertaining to a certain point. I'm like, yo, earn your check. Earn your check.
Yes, but I thought that was what was needed, Jacob, to balance out the other women. Because Heather is like full crying, like devastated. Whitney is like Nancy Drewing the whole thing. Lisa is freaking out, calling every single lawyer that she knows. I thought that Jenny was actually like a really good foil to all of them, to just be like sitting there drinking her beer, like bursting into the snacks that Jen leaves, and is like, but Heather's like, oh my God, you're going through her stuff. Like, at least let the body get cold first. And Lisa's holding the lifesavers and she's like, I don't think she's coming back for these. Like, that to me, like, icon behavior, like busting into the snacks, like not caring, because we had women who did care so deeply. Like, I felt like everybody was giving what they needed to give this episode in terms of the range of reactions. Do you know what I mean?
I could have done without Jenny. But everyone, I don't hate her. I just don't see a purpose of her on the show. Everyone else, I think, provided amazing and carried their part and was the person, you know, that they had to be. And even like, I was like, mm-hmm. it was like, one line that, Whitney said that I don't want to gloss over when they were talking about like, hey, should I call Jen? Whitney said, I mean, Heather said, and then Heather mm-hmm. was like, oh, I need to give her a head start. And so I just thought that was like, Heather added the comedic relief for me. Just like with her comments too. And just like different things like that, because this was a very nerve wracking situation, and just to have like, mm-hmm. you know, Heather doing her one off things, and, you know, and still being inquisitive and still being part of the investigation. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Heather is, you know, we've gotten a couple tweets about this that like people are like, Heather has literally no storyline this season, but Heather is so good in these group situations because she can always break the tension. Like she's the one with the joke. She's the one with the one liner. Like even in a moment like this where it's literally like Heather probably has like one of the highest stakes in the whole situation. Like Jen is her very close friend, and yet she's still able to like be like, let the body get cold first, you know, like, and give these little quippy one-liners. When they walk into the house later, she goes, the feds are here, sorry too soon, you know. Yeah. she remains lighthearted while still like sobbing in the back of the bus when she realizes what is going on, which is just so fun to watch.
I think Heather, and I mean Heather I always get Whitney and Heather confused. But I've said on this podcast that Heather is the narrator of this show. She's also the connector mm-hmm. of this show, as we saw last episode, or the episode before last, or was it last episode when they got into the fight when Whitney and Mary got into the fight and kind of Heather was
last
there.
Last episode.
Yeah, last episode. And she just like has aided in that
so
process. So much has happened. And so I don't think Heather necessarily needs to be the center of drama or calling people. I think she plays her mm-hmm. position well, and she still gives life to the show. Unlike people like Jenny, who mm-hmm. literally like is there, in my opinion, and just
hates
and
Jenny.
Just sucks the air right out of the room. And so I'm just like, I can do without. But can we get into the numerous phone calls? I'm confused. You keep me on track with this. Was Lisa on her umpteenth phone call before they knew what happened, or after Whitney saw the news article
before.
And gasped? Oh, wait, I thought she was on
before.
She was before.
So technically this is what happens within that context of the episode. So that is 9:33. The next timestamp we get is 10:12, and it's basically just Meredith arriving at the vacation home. It's the product placement that the people were promised about the home.
Okay. I want to say, was Cuvée a sponsor of this episode? Because this is the first time I feel like I've seen. Like, yeah.
I mean, they had to have been. It was like Meredith, like we're in the middle of like the most intense scene in Housewives history. And then like Meredith is arriving and they're like, look at this luxury place in Vail. There's 8 rooms. Like clearly this was the sponsor segment. Then we move back to the bus. It says 10:57. They're in Thistle, Utah. And Lisa says that she can't believe that Jen was so slow to, Heather says that she can't believe Jen was so slow to leave. And then we get a flashback. So I'm assuming that this happened when Meredith was like going to the vacation home. We get the flashback of Lisa calling all 6 of her lawyers on the line.
Which was amazing. I give mm-hmm. Lisa Barlow, people like, I mean, I get how people can perceive my actions as hating Lisa Barlow. I don't like a lot of her mm-hmm. actions, but her on the show, I see complete value of her as a housewife. She mm-hmm. adds a ton of content. She does so many bizarre, strange, unique, interesting things to these other ladies where you can't question her existence on the show. And calling 6 lawyers to say, hey, what should I do? It is very giving. And also sitting right next to her was the perfect product placement of her Vita tequila line. And yes, it was literally amazing. It was amazing.
I'm obsessed with you, Lisa Barlow. It was perfect. And she honestly, like, okay, so she calls her husband. Mm-hmm. She calls all of the lawyers. She's totally freaking out. I'm totally freaking out.
Literally.
But she also, like, that's like, I get it. Like, you're trying to be gossipy. You're trying to figure out what's going on. You're going to go to people who, like, will tell you why the police were there. Like, she's going to, because, like, it's one thing to call, like, your husband and be like, oh my God, and be like, oh my God, with him. It's another thing to call your lawyer and be like, okay, NYPD, Homeland Security, and the FBI were all here. What could possibly be going on? And then those lawyers would say what they charge, you know? Mm-hmm. So she is just like trying to get all of the information, all the facts. They're all really working out. Like in this portion of the van ride, they're trying to figure out, they still have no clue what's going on. Like they don't have the actual charges. They haven't seen the article yet. So like Lisa now starts asking, like, how did the feds know we were at Beauty Lab? And she says that other than their families, only 7 other people knew that they were at Beauty Lab. And she also tells them, like, I didn't believe for a second that Sharif had internal bleeding. And she says it in a way, Jacob, that I was like, oh my God, she really did know. Like, she said it so confidently, like, oh no, I didn't believe that for a second. I didn't believe it for a second. And I was like, what? And she goes, yeah, well, if my husband had internal bleeding and I thought he was dying, I would be completely freaking out. Like, who says they might come back? And I was like, oh my God, I think she did figure it out. Like, I do. No,
I mean, I was thinking like, okay, like once Jen left, then everyone kind of assumed, okay, Sharif Wood didn't have internal bleeding. So I just thought it was like, okay, like I can easily say, oh, I didn't believe it for a second because I know the truth. So I didn't really think, oh, like she knew from the very beginning what was going on. I just took it as they knew that Sharif, you know, wasn't in the hospital because the police came, and then it was like an easy, oh, I already knew this was happening. So that's what I pegged it off to be.
Yeah.
Nothing more than that. But the moment of Lisa Barlow phone calls that I gasped, she was on the phone with her husband and she said, I think Meredith may know something.
With her mouth covered.
With her mouth covered, but the microphone was on her chest and she probably, Lisa Barlow is not dumb, people. She's making a quality TV show. And when Lisa like immediately went into panic mode, I was in my mind thinking, wait, is she behind this? Like, does she know something? Are her and Jen in business? Like my mind went to like, wait, like you're calling like your lawyers to protect yourself because like you may have something to do with this. But I don't think she does. Mm-hmm. I don't think she does. I just think that's how she reacted.
Yes. And that's what Whitney and Heather bring up at the very end of this, you know, little segment is when they're getting out to go pee. Whitney's like, Lisa's acting so weird. Yeah. Why does she keep being like, somebody must have told, like maybe Lisa's the one who told, like, why is she calling all her lawyers? What's going on? And I think that you're right. I would jump to that conclusion too. I'd be like, why do you feel like you need to call your lawyers? Like, we didn't know anything about this. I just think Lisa's nosy as hell.
Yeah.
And she just wanted to know what was going on.
also, I think that's so true. And I think, oh crap, I just lost my mind. Okay, continue talking. Maybe it'll circle back. Oh, it was so good too.
Well, we were talking about Lisa calling the lawyers, but also like this is when Heather and Whitney and all of them start to really try to put together what Jen does. And, you know, they were like, why was NYPD here? And Whitney's like, New York's her headquarters, right? And Whitney really, I feel like in this episode, stepped it up and showed how business savvy she is because she knew all of this stuff and was able to explain what Jen does in a way that like Heather was like, I did a podcast with her and I still left not really sure what she did. And Whitney said that she like basically the core of Jen's business is that she buys people's information and sells it, which gives companies leads on how to advertise. And she said like, that's how all advertising is done, legal, you know, information acquisition. So she said that knowing that that's what Jen does, like having an understanding of that field and seeing her lifestyle, it just didn't add up to what these marketers usually make. Like she was saying, you know, Jen does things like spends an $80,000 on a birthday party for Meredith in season 1 that gave us the iconic You Smell Like Hospital, bringing like $100 bills for strippers for Justin's birthday party, just like wild, extravagant stuff. And Whitney's like, you know, her life never really added up to me. And they're sort of talking vaguely about that before they stop and we get another swap.
No, I definitely love this aspect of Whitney. First off, her confessional, she looked effing amazing, like stunning. It definitely gave like I'm in law school. I just finished. I'm on my first case. Like, it definitely gave that vibe.
It's very Legally Blonde.
Yes, very much blonde. So. She like fit the character exactly, and she did the best job at breaking down what exactly Jen did. And we've seen with the precision we saw at the reunion last season where Heather's touched on like, hey, I had you on my podcast, and Jen tried to break it down, but I don't even think Jen broke it down to this beautifully, you know, way that that Whitney did. Yes. And the fact that she said, hey, I've always had questions, because I know people that do lead generations, and I know probably in the range of how much they make. And it always confused me of how she had her lifestyle and she did this as a business, like how it didn't add up. And then a lot more of the ladies were also on the sentiments of, wait, you're right. Like, how does she like have that? And they started to voice up once kind of Whitney planted that seed and getting it together.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So then we get a commercial break. And when we come back, they're in Price, Utah at 12:05 p.m. And, you know, Jenny is like, did you guys really not know? Like, who's close to her that would have known? And Whitney's like, well, I would have thought that Lisa would know. But like, I guess not. And Lisa's like, no, I don't know. Like, maybe Stuart. I don't know. And that is when Whitney gets the text with the article, and she freaks out. She goes, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And she reads out loud to all of them. I wrote it in capital letters. Real Housewives star Jen Shah charged in massive money laundering scheme. And Heather starts screaming, send me the article. Send me the article. So Whitney sends the article to both Heather and Lisa. They both instantly start sobbing. And Lisa's saying, I feel so bad. I feel so bad for them. Stu too. At this moment, I think like it gave me chills when I was watching it.
I was like, yo, you feel so, I feel so, I mean, yeah, she's your friend, but also I feel bad for the people that got scammed. I feel bad for the people that got scammed and fraud allegedly.
Of course, like that is where we are now. And I'm sure that's where Lisa got after she got all of the information. But this literally, like, they didn't know even at this point that like she targeted elderly people. Like she just, all she knew in that moment was that is why Jen was being caught by the feds. And Lisa is smart too. And Lisa knows how much trouble she's going to be in. And that's why she's saying, oh my God, I feel so bad. Like Heather was just like, my immediate thought is just her family. Like, what is this going to do to them? And Heather said it, you know, the best. She was like, I just know this is going to absolutely blow up in it. And it certainly did. Let me tell you. So as they're all freaking out, that's when Jenny pops open her beer and starts drinking it, just chilling in the car with all of them. And then they all gather together, these three, Whitney, Heather, Badweather, with the woman herself, the poet herself, Lisa Barlow. They all come in together and cry because they're all crying. And in the middle of it, Whitney goes, oh my God, my breath smells like chips, which I feel you, Whitney. If I think my breath stinks and anybody gets too close to me, I'm immediately like, oh,
no, bad. My breath smells. Literally.
But
wait, this was also a very bonding moment for Lisa and I just feel like all the ladies, because after all their BS that they have been through, like the fighting and stuff like that, it was dope to see Whitney say, hey, come here. Like when Lisa was over there crying by herself, I mean, she was seated alone. She's like, no, come here. She opened her arms. I love that aspect of this show where, you know, we can get all the drama and all the feuds, but like Whitney saw two women that were super uber emotional. And all she wants to do was care for them. So I think and I hope that does a lot for their relationship going forward into other seasons and, you know, the rest of this season as well. Just like if they, one of them gets pissed at each other, they remember this moment. They're like, hey, we had the camaraderie. We had the friendliness. We had the love right here. Let's kind of circle back to this after they throw the wine glass at each other and throw the bottle at each other and cuss each other out.
They will always have the party bus in the parking lot of Beauty Lab. They always, always will. So Whitney, like, so as they're crying, Jenny's like, did you guys really like have no idea? And Whitney says, you know, Jenny, like I've said to you before that her life didn't make sense to me, but I just thought she had a sugar daddy. And Whitney is straight up. Like she was just like, I had a sugar daddy in her confessional. And she was like, that's truly just what I thought it was. Like I knew that there was no way she was making this money in the way that she was saying that she did, but I did not think that it was from illegal fraudulent activity. I just thought it might have been a bit of sex work, you know, on the side.
I mean, her husband makes like a good, people went too invasive on this, but Jen's husband, they like found his salary from like the past 3 years or so. And he makes a really dope salary. Like, you know, it's a lot of money. It's definitely a lot of money.
Like how
not
much?
Like in the middle.
Do you remember?
I think it was plus 300,000. 300,000 plus.
Yeah, but okay, so but that house that she lives in is at least the Shaw Chalet where she used to live.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like $1 million house. You can't afford that plus throwing in $80,000.
Weren't they renting
her bags and shoes?
They didn't own it.
They were renting.
Yeah.
They were renting, but I bet you if we looked it up and found how much it was online, there's no way that somebody who makes a salary of $300,000, because you take home what, you know, 220 of that every year. There's no way somebody who makes $220,000.
Pairing it with whatever Jen makes.
Whatever was making, like, could afford to throw an $80,000 birthday party.
Okay, no, that's excessive. Like, that's excessive. But yeah. I wanted to see, like, more of, like, okay, well, because, I mean, I imagine they don't know how much he makes. I mean, but they probably, oh, he's a college football coach. Mm-hmm. They could probably guesstimate. However, but I was just like, you know, I'll put it on her.
I am not trying to say that Coach Shaw does not make a good living. Oh my God, are you kidding? If I made that much money, like I just don't know why. Like, and that's the thing. Like Coach Shaw, like you said, makes an amazing living. That's why, like, the fact that Jen felt that she had the right and the
audacity,
like,
quite
that
frankly.
She was the audacity to make this money just to throw it away to excess because you're literally stealing money from vulnerable people.
Literally.
When you absolutely have enough money to live comfortably and to give your children a beautiful life, like even outside of whatever business venture you're doing, like how dare you?
And you're on a top rated show that Bravo, they give you a nice little check for coming on. So I'm like, come on, Jen Shaw.
Yeah. But this is the thing, though. It's like, why, if you are doing illegal activity and have been doing illegal activity since 2012, why are you going on national television and flaunting your excess money for the world to see? I mean, it's just like literally a key element of a narcissistic personality disorder. Like, you just think you're untouchable.
Someone said, it was a celebrity, they once said, like, oh, like some celebrities, some other celebrities or rich people, you think like, oh, the money's nice, but I want the fame as well. So you like, it's hard to like, really, you have the money, but like the fame is a whole nother drug for someone to just like do. And that's like something that they really want. And I think that's what it boils down to right here. I think she wanted that fame. I think she wanted the spotlight of being on a top rated reality show. And now it came back to bite her in the ass legally. But they probably could have been looking at this before she got on, like looking into this case before she got on. But her being on the show, publicizing how much money she spends per party, like her getting gifts, her, you know, showing off her purses, her bags, her closets, her house, it didn't do her any justice. So
all four of her assistants,
literally,
she pays a living wage. Like, it's just wild to me. So Lisa like gets a text or reads an article that says that she could face up to 30 years in prison. And like Heather says that, you know, she knew that Jen's business was unsavory. She just didn't know it was illegal. And this is the point when Whitney is reading the article and explains that the way that Jen did this, how Whitney explained it. I mean, I don't know for sure. I have not read legal documents. I don't know. I'm going off of what Whitney said on the show. She said that, so, you know, you can legally obviously like get people's information and sell it. That's how advertising works. You know, like that it's a very real legitimate legal job. But what Jen would do is she would get the, obtain the information of a specific demographic. So specifically elderly people. And she herself and her business would sell them scam items or scam subscriptions. And then once you get that elderly person's credit card or elderly or disabled, you know, somebody who doesn't have all of the knowledge of how to be on the internet, of, you know, like how to use
how technology works. Yeah.
Exactly. Once you get their credit card information, then you can charge, you know, $150, $200. You can charge money every single month to those credit cards. And the elderly person or the, you know, the victim of this has no idea it's happening. They have no way to access even the statements to, you know, pay them off or to cancel them, and they can't get out of it. And that's how she's defrauding people and stealing their money. And as Whitney's explaining this, Jenny in her confessional is like, I think it's pretty weird and suspicious that Whitney knows all of this, like legality purposes. Like, how does she know so, so, so much about this? But I just personally, I just think Whitney's smart and she knows how businesses work and she's familiar with what Jen was doing and probably, you know, has taken some business courses and knows what's legal and knows what's not.
I agree. I think Whitney is smart. I also think that, I mean, once upon a time, Whitney and Jen threatened to drown her in a lake behind her house. So I'm pretty sure after that point, Whitney was like, oh, let me get some dirt on your ass real quick. So she probably dug deep and got some research on Jen.
Jen did that.
Yes. And she probably dug deep and got some research on Jen's ass. And was like, when it's time, if I feel it's necessary, oh, I got your ass. And I have all this knowledge stored up. Not saying that she said this in a vindictive way, because I don't believe she did. I think she said it out of a knowledge base of, hey, I know kind of what she's doing more than y'all. But I think she definitely did her research to say, ha, 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 ha. Come on, girl. I got some for that ass when it's time. And so, you know, so, hey, that's what I thought. Oh, and I didn't think it was weird. Like, Jenny, how about you do some research about the people who you're on the show with? How about that? How about you do some work? How about you earn your check a type of way? How about that? Jenny's not coming back. And if she is, I'm eating crow.
You heard it here, folks. First, folks. Okay, so this was the moment that we sort of talked about at the top of the podcast, where they get the ring footage. All of the people who swarmed Beauty Lab have now gone to Jen Shaw's house. They, guns drawn, go to their house. We get from the ring camera, they're marching her 15-year-old son and her 12-year-old nephew out of the house with their arms up. It was so heartbreaking and, you know, just so scary to see these, you know, children, men of color, who, like, the police are swarming their house. Like, they, it's so dangerous to be a man of color in this country. As, like, and the fact that they had to go through this, like, Jen is going to have to live with the fact that that happened because she was doing illegal things and she ran from the police and she did not turn herself in. She's going to have to deal with the fact that, like, her children face that trauma for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to have to answer to that.
Absolutely. I think, like,
absolutely. The cops, sorry, just to finish, like, the cops did not need to get those babies out of the house with their hands up. Like, are you kidding me? So ridiculous. Absolutely should never have happened. But, like, if Jen had gone to the police station when she got the call and not run, maybe she could have spared her children that trauma. I don't know.
Yeah, this scene right here was definitely a disheartening. I think just for me to watch as like a black man and just seeing like two BIPOC men, young men, having their hands up, coming outside, terrified. Because especially out of the, out, like, especially the world's climate that we are in and we're in, that's a, like a such a frightening sight to see. And I just think, like, I didn't need to see that on, it gave more context to some people. It heightened the situation up for some people. I don't think I needed to see that as a viewer watching this show. I think I could have done without, like, cause they, Jen had to give the producers the ring footage. It's not like they're, it's not like the producers are the police and say like, hey, like, we're summoning this tape. Like, no, Jen gave up that footage for, from her ring light to the police. And for me, you saw that, you watched that, and you thought that that was okay for, okay, like, let me publicize this, let me put this out. And having the boys, I don't know if they watch the show or not, but just like having that out there is such a, like, it's such a, I think, it's a disheartening. It made me so pissed when I saw that footage, because my mind immediately went, like, Jen gave this up willingly for a check on a reality show to make this storyline bigger. And I was very, it was just a very thick, cause you're like rewatching this and seeing like that again. Yeah. You're like, as a mother, you're rewatching your kids coming out. You're having the world see that. And that's not something that like, I'm not a mother. I'm not also a parent, but I'm just getting into the mind of one. If I could, I'm just like, I don't want that to be like my kids or my nephew, for them to have to relive that. And that'd be on national television. It was very disheartening. And it, honestly, if I was Jen and that scene came out, this whole entire thing came out, I could just imagine how her kids could be looking at their mom like, mom, like, what the hell? Like, you put us in this position and now it's publicized on the internet and in the world. It's just like, Jen, is this check worth the, is this check being on a Real Housewives of Salt Lake City really worth it? And yeah, I did not. And that's the reason why I did not like that scene, because I feel like just that other context of her giving that footage up after watching it. Like, how can you say, I don't want this on the show, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, like, do we know for sure she turned it over, or was it like the sort of thing where she signed the contract in the beginning, not thinking anything would happen? And then the producers were like, oh, we can get the ring camera footage.
I don't like, oh, the producers have all the legal right to go into your home and get the footage of your home. I find that very hard to believe. I feel like on other shows, like, okay, I feel like that never happens, and it could very well be what happened, but I just very much so doubt that they have a legal right to use whatever, because this is not their camera. They didn't take the footage. Like, like, they didn't take that footage, and I just don't think they have the legal right to go in and say, hey, that footage is ours. You have to put that on the show. I don't think they have the right. I think like they probably asked, like, hey, can we use it? I think that's probably what happened. Hey, can we use that? And then, but I'm just like, after Jen watched that scene on her camera, I was like, how can you give that up? And yeah, I was not a fan of that.
And they're both minors too. That's the thing. Minors. Like, it doesn't matter if your son agreed to be on the show. I highly doubt he would agree to the most traumatic moment of his life, I'm sure. You know, it's just, yeah, that, completely agree, Jacob. It was so scary. When I saw it, I was like, my like stomach hurt. Like, I felt nauseous. Yeah.
I felt like so emotional. God. Just like get into the headspace to put me as like a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, the cops pulling up SWAT with big guns. And like my parents aren't home. My mom's like a sister or friend is home, you know, watching us, or somebody's home. But like, I'm like helpless right now. And they're escorting me out with my hands up. I'm petrified, especially as a man of color. Like, how can this situation in their minds of what they see in the world look like? How can it end well? You know what I mean? And luckily, like, no one, you know, got hurt, like physically, or no one lost their life. But like that situation just could have went so many ways. And it just like, it just, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So the next scene, we get 2:30. Lisa FaceTimes Meredith, and Meredith gets on the phone. She's in Vail. The women are telling Meredith about what's been happening so far. They're completely freaking out. They're telling her about the SWAT team showing up, all of that. Meredith is unbothered, honey. I cannot believe, like, it doesn't matter if you were like, Jen is evil and like is the worst person ever. This is shocking. This whole, the way it was, it's dramatic as hell. Like, even if you're not shocked that Jen's arrested, the way that this all went down was so dramatic. And so Meredith says in her confessional, she says, you know, the fact that she did this isn't shocking, but the way she was arrested is shocking. But she's not acting like it on the phone. Lisa even says, like, I feel like we don't know her. And Meredith says, well, you know, I feel like I kind of did, and you all didn't listen to me. And It was weird, no, Jacob?
I didn't necessarily think it was weird, Maggie. I thought, like, I think Meredith has been on to the BS of Jen Shaw that she sees for a while now. And I think this was another reason to add to, oh, I don't have to mess with her. And I think Meredith's whole thing up on television is the seeming unbothered, uninterested, like disengaged. And so I just thought it fit her persona. Even though I think we would have loved to see like a ooh or a shock face. I think, you know, but like I wasn't that thrown off by Meredith's reaction, because I think Meredith has been, and I don't, and I also don't think Meredith called the feds, but I think Meredith has been waiting for a woman like this to happen to Jen Shaw, because, you know, she brought up things that happened later on in the night. And I think it's like she was like, she's up to, she knows about Jen. I just perceived it as
that. Yeah, she's got her number.
Yeah, basically.
So then we get, you know, 3:16 p.m. We get Jen walking out of the courthouse with those box braids, with that fur coat, with those cheetah-heeled boots, getting into the car. You know, people are like, the reporters are asking,
what do you have to say to your fans? My question that I was dead at was when a reporter said, hey, what do you have to say to your fans? I'm like, really? Is that the most pressing? What do you have to say to your family, Jen? What do you have to say to your fans, Jen? Yes. I was like, yo, calm it down.
Exactly. Freaking exactly.
Yeah.
So they're all, you know, speculating back in the bus about like how they were laundering the money. Heather talks about, you know, she learned from watching Ozark that any sort of cash based business, you can embezzle money, like construction, strip clubs.
Yeah.
Lisa brings up that Jen has a merch store, and Whitney says, oh my God, Jen is always starting these businesses. And she realizes that if you dump cash into a startup, you get to expense it as a loss on your taxes. Mm-hmm. So that's how she was getting rid of this cash. She would just throw it all into business, you know, say that it was a loss. You don't have to, if you put $1 million into a business, you don't have to claim, you know, profit on it for like 5 years or something. And Jenny's like, yeah, because it's capital. And they're talking a lot about business stuff that I don't fully understand.
No, yeah.
And Lisa gets into the confessional and she's like, once again, Whitney is acting like this is a game of Clue. And I think it's so weird that Whitney knows so much about laundering money. But again, I think it's just Whitney, like, you know, putting it all together, putting her business skills, you know, to use and sort of wrapping her mind around what's happening. Because this is the thing, like, it was so chaotic. And they were all trying to make sense of the chaos in their own way. Like, Whitney's trying to Nancy Drew it. Heather's trying to, like, come up with the solution that makes Jen innocent. Like,
innocent,
what if, you know, the Homeland Security just wanted to talk to her? It's a paperwork issue. You know, like, she's trying to be like, it's not true. Lisa is trying to make sense of the chaos by calling all of her lawyers and trying to make sure she's fine and, like, trying to lower her blood pressure.
I think Lisa was more concerned about herself. Feel like Lisa was more concerned, like, with, okay, what's going to happen to me? I'm associated with her in this group. I may or may not have and all that money laundering things. It's alleged that that's why she opened those businesses. We don't know for sure, but it's just alleged.
I'm just repeating Whitney's words on that.
Repeating what Whitney said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Allegedly. But Lisa calling all of her lawyers, and then you said she kind of threw that little bit of shade. Like, I don't get why Whitney knows so much. I can't do her voice. I don't know why Whitney knows so much about laundering money. It's just like, yo, she probably watched a whole bunch of shows. Like, she does businesses. And, like, say you are in that realm, you probably know a lot that can get you caught up in trouble, that your lawyers say, hey, do not do this, do this. And, like, Lisa, you also have been very concerned. And you, like, later on this evening, you dropped your little, like, iffiness about Jen's situation. So, like, calm down with the shade, girl. But wait, a moment that we skipped over was before the camera got back to the girls in the car. Mary showed up at the house in Vail with Meredith in the tub.
Oh, this is next.
Okay. Well, my notes are off then. But yes, Mary walked into the house and no one greeted her.
4:13 p.m.
walked into the house. No one greeted her. She was yelling, Meredith, you heard Meredith's faint voice saying, Mary? are you here? Is that you? And then Mary walks all into the bathroom where Meredith Brooks is lathering herself up with soap and enjoying a nice little bubble bath.
A celebratory Jen Shaw's in prison bubble bath.
Literally. I thought it was so queen. Ice queen. And then they began to talk about it. And Mary, which I'm like very surprised at her response for, you know, this alleged stuff that Jen got herself into. She was very compassionate and very like, damn, like I feel at this moment she was compassionate, saying like, hey, like, damn, this is a lot. Like, I feel bad for her, for her family. Like, what is actually going on? And she actually pointed out Meredith's lack of compassion in her eyes. And so, but Meredith then tweeted that like, oh, I had a lot of compassion.
Well, and that's the thing, though, that like, that's why I was like, it's so weird that Meredith is like literally is not reacting, because like Mary said, you know, like, I obviously feel bad for her family, but like sometimes you just have things coming, you know, but like still Mary was like, I'm devastated. I'm completely shocked. I'm overwhelmed. Like, I'm blown away. You know, she also said that for her, proper etiquette is to greet people when you arrive at a place dressed, which is was hilarious to me because Meredith was in the tub. But she says that she found out about the arrest from Robert Sr. So like Robert Sr. must have texted her when she was on the plane. And yeah, Mary says that her and Meredith had the same experience with Jen, but Meredith just literally couldn't care less that Jen was arrested. And she's very shocked by that.
Still, literally, it has to, and she has to be pruned up. She has to be pruned up. She has to be shriveled.
And then Meredith just tells Mary, you know, like, the other women are going to get here, so she should pick her room first. So Mary runs off to pick her room. And then we get 4:56. So, okay, this is the thing. Mary arrives at 4:13 and Meredith was in the tub. The other women arrive at 4:56 and Meredith is still in the tub. The tub has to be like disgustingly cold, no?
The celebratory bath in Meredith's eyes.
Yeah. Literally shriveled. It's wild. I was like, girl, but you know, sometimes you just got to take that hour long Jen Shaw's been arrested bath. But the women. The celebratory bath. So, the women arrive and, Whitney and, you know, oh, before the women get there, the, like, Whitney and Jenny sort of just go over Mary and are like, there might be weirdness, but like this Jen stuff might override it. So when they get there, you know, basically they're like, Meredith, hello. And she's like, I'm just in the tub. Everybody go pick your rooms. So they run off to go pick their rooms. Whitney and Heather are next to each other. Jenny and Lisa are next to each other. And then they all call their husbands basically and debrief a little bit. And one thing that I got, maybe it was sent from you on Twitter, somebody noticed that when Mary Cosby was calling her husband debriefing, her phone is dad.
Wait, I didn't pick. I mean, daddy, like, you know how many people call like their significant others daddy, like daddy, zaddy, like dad, but dad is weird.
Is that Mary Cosby's thing? Okay, the only thing that I will say is that my parents growing up did have their names in each other's cell phones as mom and dad, because we would use their cell phones, like, you know, before we had cell phones, like literally in like 2010, like 2008, like way before that, they would have mom and dad. So we would call the other on their cell phone, or like if we were around and it was calling, like we would pick up and be like, it's dad. But like, certainly they don't still have their names as that because their children are grown up and have their own cell phones. So I'm just like, what's going on there, Jacob?
I think, I mean, and I don't see Mary, you're right, because I tried to make the excuse, oh, it could be a play on like daddy, but Mary, that's not Mary Cosby. She's not the type
Whitney
of woman.
Would do that.
Yeah, Whitney would do that. You know what I mean? And so, damn. I mean, or it could, you know, the same thing happened, but they just haven't updated it yet.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't have an excuse for this weird behavior. Now, this is definitely weird. Like, the name on the phone is dad. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Hopefully she changed it after Twitter probably saw it yesterday. Hopefully.
Even like
to Zaddy or something.
To Zaddy. Bryce would love that. Yeah. Shout out to Bryce. I saw he tweeted that he was excited to listen last week. Shout out to Bryce. Hopefully if you have anything to say, Bryce, tweet at us. So finally, like, you know, we've calmed down a bit from the Jen stuff and we're sort of dealing now with all of the women being in the same space. So Mary in her confessional is saying that she forgot Jenny was even going to be there and she can't be bothered with Whitney. You know, they do more product.
Same. Well, not about Whitney.
But they
not
do,
about Whitney, about Jenny. I was like saying
they do more product placement with the spread and everything. And then finally they all sit down to eat. And Lisa and Mary are both saying, Lisa was like, how did you feel about all of this? And Mary was like, I was shocked. And Lisa said, you know, I just felt like it was surreal. And they're all sitting there and Whitney informs them that they arrested Jen on the side of the road, that they had her phone tracked and they tracked her to the side of the road. I never knew that part of the story, Jacob.
I never either until this episode or until the article came out. I didn't read the article in real time. So this is the first time I heard that. So I feel like all of the speculation about, oh, where was she? Uh-huh. Like, what happened? I feel like all of that should have, like, oh, who told the feds? Like, I feel like all of that should have ceased right when that specific article came out where Whitney read, hey, they had her phone tapped so they knew where she was and they tracked her down on the highway intersection or whatever.
Interstate. And clearly they would know she was at Beauty Lab.
Clearly they would know. And so they got there a little bit late. Probably the data isn't all the way up to date to like the very moment, second of everything. Mm-hmm. So they were like 15 minutes late, I think, that Jen left. Mm-hmm. And so,
13 minutes later, Crazy.
13 minutes later.
I'm doing investigative reporting. I wrote down all of the timestamps.
Love it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, so they're all talking about it. And, you know, Mary says, you know, she has been scared of Jen because she knows what Jen is capable of. And Meredith sits down and goes, okay, so what does everybody think? And they all start sort of talking about it and opening up.
And she said it so... She said it so slowly as well. She said it like, so what does everyone think about this?
Like, I thought that she was saying, like, what does everyone think about the house? Like, that is how, like, nonchalant she said it. But she was talking about, Jen being arrested and indicted for fraud. But Meredith starts telling the women about a situation that she had with Jen where she was out of town and... Jen called her and was like, can you open the store for me? And she was like, sure. So the employees opened the store for her and the Shaw Squad. And the Shaw Squad was there. And Jen bought a couple of things. And when she left, one of Meredith's employees was like, there is a clutch missing, like a purse. And she told Meredith, like, I know for sure it was here. And now it's no longer here. So Meredith had them call Jen. Or like send her a text and ask her, you know, if accidentally that, you know, it got in with the shuffle. Immediately, Jen called her back and was like, yes, he has it. Can you bring it back tomorrow? And the employee brought it back the next day. And then they cut to the video footage.
Literally, video footage. I think this is why I have this written down. It kind of makes sense on why Meredith has such a stick with Jen. Because, like, she has felt this way for so long. And this happened, I think, before they shot last year's reunion, I believe. I'm not exactly sure. And so the Meredith's been sitting on this for a while now. And it's like, oh, you could have bought this up then. But no, you see the prime opportunity to bring this up and you're going to take it. And I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Totally. But she, you know, so then she says, you know, in her confessional, she's like, Jen did not steal anything from me. That is not what I'm trying to insinuate. My issue with Jen is that one of her employees stole something from me and he is still on her payroll. And I was like, and that's on that. Ain't that the truth?
I mean, that is the truth. And did you hear what, and this is kind of getting into town, but I just think it's applicable right now. I believe Heather said on Watch What Happens Live that that employee, as of last night, does not work for Jen.
Well, so there's also a post that I'll bring up in tea time that he made 3 hours ago. So, you know.
I saw that. Yeah.
Okay. So then Meredith also says, you know, this is gossip. She prefaces this and she's like, this is all gossip. But my friend told me that Jen is flagged in Louis Vuitton because she pays for all of her stuff in cash. And Mary about fell out of her chair at that one. Mary was like, oh! And Lisa in her confessional goes, I would rather, she's like, I think it's worse
this is amazing.
To be flagged in Louis Vuitton than it is for the feds to show up at my doorstep. Like, just hilarious.
Literally. That was amazing. That confessional right there was like perfectly fitting. I mean, it was a Lisa Barlow original.
It's like up to at the top of Lisa's confessional in terms of like, if I gift you something and you do something with it, what does it matter? If I give you a Chanel necklace and you choke on it, that's not my fault.
Literally. I'm so glad you remembered that.
Always. I remember my Lisa quotes. So then basically this just opens the floodgates and they start telling stories. So Heather tells a story about how Jen was over on Wednesday. Heather put her in an Uber, paid for her Uber home, and she got a notification from the Uber that Jen got out like a half mile away from the destination that Heather put in. Like a half mile away from her house. And Heather just thought it was like, oh, Jen doesn't trust me. Like, I'm assuming that the employee that Meredith brought up, you know, they had to bleep out the guy's name. But I'm assuming that that employee, Heather had said something about also that got edited out because Heather was like, I just assumed, you know, she didn't trust me. She was going to meet, you know, this employee that I don't like. I think Heather probably has a problem with that employee as well. And she was like, you know, I just assumed that she didn't trust me. I didn't know that there was, you know, anything else going on. And then Lisa starts insinuating that she knows something. And she's like, what, when was that? And Heather was like, Wednesday. And she was like, what time? And she was like, I don't know, like literally 10 o'clock. And she was like, okay, when was the last time you saw her? And Jenny's like, do you have something you would like to share with the class, Lisa? And Lisa's like, no, I don't. And Whitney's like, well, please tell us because we're all in danger right now. We're all in danger if we don't share what we know. And that's where it ends.
And so I think it can be alluded to the fact of another man, sugar daddy. I feel like that's where I hate when Lisa does this shit because she did it when it was alluding to a person in Mary's church. Mm-hmm. And now she's doing it again. I'm like, give you sis, you know what you're doing when you're creating a show. You're the smart. I feel like you are one of the top two smartest women on this show. Mm-hmm. You know how to provide entertainment. You know how to provide content. Give it to us. In full.
She will.
Please.
She
hopefully.
Tell us.
She will. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I just hate this little tease aspect. Hopefully we can also circle back to the Mary situation as well when Duke Cameron came, you know, to talk to Meredith about it.
Well,
but yeah, 10 out of 10 episode.
On the next time on, it looks like Meredith is defending Mary about that. And it's like,
yes.
You know, so,
yes.
Well, I don't know. We're just going to have to see.
I like the Meredith and Mary's friendship. I like it. It's quirky. It's very like it's a surprise, but I just think it's so cute.
I think it's just because Mary and Brooks get along really well. So like Meredith has a soft spot because he's like kind to her son.
Yes. I loved it though.
So yes, 10 out of 10 episode. This episode was wild. I cannot believe that the Bravo cameras caught all of this. This is insane. My dad is here with me visiting right now. I had a bit of an emergency over the weekend, so my dad is here helping, taking care of me. And he watched the rewatch of the episode with me, and he was like, what? What's going on? Like, he was commenting the whole time. I mean, he, like, can't with, like, the rich people problems. Like he like couldn't really handle all of that, but he was just like absolutely floored that like Meredith was finding out that her friend had gotten arrested for fraud and was like, didn't care and was in the bathtub. He was like, what is going on with this woman? He was just like floored by all of this. So it was really fun to have somebody else there being like, what, to share with me, also being like, I know, right? It's wild. It's totally wild.
I love that. A little father-daughter bonding time.
Over Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Ain't that the truth? Okay, so should we get into tea time?
Yes, let's get into it.
Okay. I don't have a glass of water with me, so I don't know.
Let's just.
Yeah. All right. So today at 6:30 p.m., Jen's assistant that we saw the video of posted online that they did not steal the clutch from Meredith, that if they were going to steal a clutch, they obviously wouldn't have been holding it out in the open. They would have put it in a bag somewhere and stolen it. They accidentally walked out with it. And when it was brought to their attention, they immediately agreed to bring it back. And I'm not sure how I feel about that, because I've done stuff like that before. I've accidentally, you know, one time when I was in high school, I was at an accessory store and I just put a scrunchie on my wrist, not even thinking, walked out, got into the parking lot, literally turned around and brought the scrunchie back because I was like, oh my God, I forgot that this, I had even done this. So like I could see, you know, he's there with everybody. Everybody's just grabbing a bunch of stuff. He's not even thinking. It accidentally gets lost in the shuffle and he walks out with it. Of course, he's going to run back in right away and get it. I can understand why it would have left a bad taste in Meredith's mouth, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I also can see it being an honest mistake on the part of this person.
I thought the exact same thing. I didn't think, because I mean, even Meredith was kind of hinting at like, hey, like they didn't steal it. Like they bought it. They did bring it back in the video footage that Bravo showed. They did bring it back. And I think. I think it was a mistake, but I get why Meredith is frustrated and pissed off because of what it can look like, and also that she still has that person on the team. Mm-hmm. But as Heather, I think, said last night, that person is no longer on Jen's team.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know if it has anything in correlation with this. It could be something else, you know, but that is what Heather Gay said.
Of course, you know, Jen was tweeting away last night, you know.
Oh, tweeting away.
And so there is a Dumois blind, which if you don't know what Dumois is, it's basically like crowdsourced paparazzi. So Dumois is an Instagram account, and anybody, and if you ever see a celebrity out, like you can snap a picture and send it to Dumois. I personally never would because I feel like that's so invasive of people's privacy, but that's how they make, you know, that's how they run. People take photos or send DMs being like, I saw this person here. They send submissions of blind submissions, basically, where like you can't get sued by naming someone, but you give like enough hints about who the person is that people can figure it out. So there was a Dumois submission that Jen reacted to last night. And the message was, this housewife who loves to show off her closet has been placed on the Louis Vuitton do not sell list for 2 years minimum because she was caught buying and reselling loads of merchandise. She's not happy about it. And the hint is not East Coast and not OC. So people after the episode, you know, when Meredith brings up that she's on the Louis Vuitton flagged list, people were like, oh my God, this blind item about a housewife is totally about Jen. That's totally wild. And Jen responded and was like, oh, please, this is not about me. She retweeted somebody who was like talking, saying that Meredith is so fake and she feels so bad for Jen. Like, I just, Jen, like, read the room.
Yes.
Like, you got indicted for defrauding elderly people. Read the room. Maybe this is the week where you just keep yourself quiet. And then once the storyline is brought around to your actual defense, that's when you can start tweeting. But like, what leg do you have to stand on right now? You know?
My sentiments exactly. I'm like, you have so many more issues to be worried about instead of this blog or what trying to shade Meredith on Twitter. Like, Jen, get off social media, figure out your legal issues, have a form. Because we know at the beginning of the season, you were trying to, on your earnest attempt to, you know, get better with your family, spend more time with your child. Mm-hmm. Like Jen, you have your efforts could be associated in so many different ways that retweeting things, liking things, quoting things with shady comments, it's just not necessary. Mm-hmm. You look horrible. And I'm like, yes. Jen Shaw, like you are like, I was honestly starting to like your ass at the beginning of the season. And just like, look how everything played out. And I thought like, okay, I know everything, but just what we got, I feel like a lot more than we were teased this episode. I'm just like, Jen Shaw, you, again, like you said, have no legs to stand on.
I just like read the room. And absolutely, I know that come next episode or the episode after, we're going to get Jen's side of the story where we're going to have a huge confessional where she's clearing her name, talking about, you know, what's going on. Wait for that episode. Like, this is the episode where, like, you are indicted and the world finds out on this reality show that you were defrauding elderly people. Like, just stay quiet. And you're upset that, like, your friend is not more devastated about the news? Like, what?
You're selfish.
Yeah. She's like got serious problems. She really does. Yeah. It's very sad.
It is.
Okay. Well, do you have anything else to add, Jacob?
No, that was like, this episode was like powerful mm-hmm. for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Yes. Like, it's no question in mind that I think we can definitely have a long running, a new franchise with this. You know, mm-hmm. they're only on season 2. I see season 3 and I see season 4. Mm-hmm. And I think the characters on this show are starting to become more like solidified and know their place mm-hmm. and know, like, you know, when to, like, you know, just like their place on the show.
Yes.
And it's fun to see. And like, even I love the fact that you like wrote down times. I think you killed the Nancy Drew of the investigation of trying to figure out like the truth crime. So I love that you did that. And I just had like a brilliant time talking with you about
Me
it and your
too.
Impression. You also, you did a, you always, you oftentimes do the Lisa impression, but you also did another lady's impression.
Whitney.
It was one of the, Whitney, and you killed that one as well. Yeah. And so, you know, I had like, the episode was already like effing amazing, but getting a chance to talk to you about it, like, it made it even more.
I feel the same way, Jacob. It's so fun that we get to do this together. And, you know, Jacob and I were on the Survivor Feedback Show this week on RHAP. If you haven't gotten the chance to listen to it, please listen. But so far, we've gotten a lot of really nice comments and feedback on that as well. And people saying, you know, that they want to listen to the pod. So if this is your first
time, I know.
Freaking welcome, right? You came in with a
welcome.
But like, if this is your first pod with us, welcome. We have so much fun here. We want to hear from you. We want you to tweet us. Please rate and subscribe in, you know, Apple Podcasts. Please leave us a little note. We'll read it on the pod if we get any. It's just always so great that I get to talk to you about this every week. And you're right. I do see a huge future for the franchise here after this episode. Yeah. Like, this is the kind of stuff that, like, these women are going to be trauma bonded from this. Like, for real.
No, honestly. And I really like that because anytime I get on, like, you have a different perspective and that, like, you have something that I didn't think about. And I feel like the same mm-hmm. goes both ways. And so it's like always fun to compare notes mm-hmm. and also to agree to disagree
yes.
with who we like and what stand we're in. Things like that. So it's fun.
If we liked the same people exclusively, like, that would be boring to listen to. What if the listeners don't like the person that we both decided to stand?
No, honestly.
Like, we need the range in opinions so that we can get the tweets that are like, I agree with Jacob or I agree with Maggie. Like, you know, all the takes. So, well, thank you so much for being here, Jacob. Where can people find you if they want to know more?
If you want to know more, you can follow me on Twitter, all social media at JacobJ_Jones. And like Maggie said, watch the Survivor Feedback Show that we were on this week. It was really good. Where can people find you, Maggie?
Yeah, people can find me on Twitter @_MLMorgan. And you can find me on Instagram and TikTok @MLMorgan_. That's where I'm at. And after the Survivor Feedback Show, I said I wanted to know where the Amazing Race is. I've gotten probably 25 DMs. Thank you, everybody. I found it. I'm watching on Amazon Prime because there's no ads there the way that there are on Hulu. I'm in the middle of season 14. It's great. While my dad is here, we're going to finish the season. Mike White's on the season. It's great. So thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in. And we're so excited to see you next week. All right, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.